This morning, we are going to kind of be piggybacking on what we talked about last week. And if you were here last week, then you remember that we talked about that, you know, 25 years of praising God for 25 years of ministry here. And we spent the whole day talking about and singing about praising God for what He has done. And thinking about all of the great things. And Earl went through a very detailed account of 25 years of outreach and ministry. And we praise God for those things. And I'll tell you, it was very difficult to come up with all of that stuff. Not because trying to figure out what all we've done, but trying to figure out how to pack it all into just a couple of minutes, because this church has been so active and so instrumental in ministering to this community. But we spent last week talking about praise God for what He has done in all those 25 years and all those activities. And this morning, I want to piggyback onto that, and I want to talk about praising God for what He will do. Over the next, I guess I've got 51 after today, 51 sermons before next year's anniversary. And I told you that I'm going to be really leaning on the next generation to get involved, and not just to get involved like we're used to getting involved, but get involved like a generation before us has taught us to get involved. Not get involved in kind of a sideline kind of, you know, shouting encouragement from, but I'm talking about getting in the middle of this ministry, taking ownership. And being the catalyst for the next 25 years. So I want us to talk about the future. Talk about what God's going to do. And it's going to take us, my generation, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, to pick up the banner that has been established and to continue that. And for some of us, it's going to mean putting down other things. It's going to mean taking a long, hard look at our schedule and saying, what's got to go? I've only got 24 hours in a day, and I got to sleep for about five of those, and then I got to do this. I got to go to. So what is going to have to be gotten rid of? And I'm going to be leaning on my generation to not rely on those who have gone before us to then also come after us and give us sort of a pass. It's our turn. It is time for those of us who have never built a church to keep building. It is time for those of us who have never led a ministry to allow God control of our lives so that we can take other people through a relationship with Him. So you've got 50, today's the first one, so 51 other sermons. And I get 3 Sundays off a year. Typically don't take them. I've taken one this Sunday. I'll have preached 51 sermons at the end of the summer, end of this year. So I hate being away from y'all. I can't stand it. It gives me hives. But you get 51 more sermons. And I'm going to try to get in there. Let's go, folks. I'm going to remember what those who have gone before us have done and challenge us to keep going. So praising God for what He will do. Talk about sayings, Jimmy. This is a saying. I mean, this verse we love. For I know the plans I have for you, declareth the Lord. Depending on if you got your saying in your little plaque thing. And I know, what do you call those? I don't know. It's like, not a picture because it's mainly words. But, you know, there's a little farmhouse over here. And maybe, you know, some daisies or daffodils along the bottom. And then there's in this really beautiful script a quote of a verse. And it's typically just part of a verse because you can't really find a whole verse that makes us feel like part of this verse does. But he says, and if you get the King James version of this, that I know the plans I have for ye, declareth the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope in a future, not to harm you, and, you know, blah, 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 all that, whatever version you get. But that's what it says, doesn't it? And we love that. We love that thing that tells us that God got a plan, and it's a good plan, and it's a plan we're going to like, and at the end, we're the star of the show, and we're going to be prospered, and we're going to have stuff, and we're just going to have piles of stuff, and then when one pile starts to get a little bit small, all we're going to have to do is really just lean into this stuff, and God's going to make that pile even bigger. And we love that. There's more to it. But before we go on to the more to it, there's a couple of things that this verse tells us. So there's a couple of things that this verse, ironclad, just absolute truths about this. And the first thing that we need to know when we talk about Jeremiah 29 and God knows the plans that He has, the first thing is that God has a plan. And it's very important for us to understand that it is God who has the plan. At no time does God say, hey, I know what I want for you to do, but when you get a chance, you know, shoot me a memo on what your thoughts are, and then we'll kind of sit down and discuss it and come up with a good idea for your life. You know, God doesn't say, hey, we're having a committee meeting next Thursday, and we're going to discuss your plan, we're going to talk about stuff. God has a plan. It is His plan. He came up with it, and God knows His plan. At no time is God sitting up there, now what was I going to do with these guys? You know, I am real busy. I got a lot of people to manage here. Now, I know I had something for Dan to do. What was that? You know, I tell you what. Dan, hang on a second. I'm going to get back to you. Check your email. Now, put me in your address book so I don't go to your spam folder. God knows His plan. He knows what. It isn't as important for us to know it. I love Bill's prayer. God, we know You have a plan. We don't always know it, but we know You know it. It's not always important for us to have all of the maps drawn out because God knows. And God's going to carry out His plan. The thing that we have to understand is that God's plan for this world, it will happen. It's not a maybe. It's not a if all the planets align. God made the planets. He's going to line them up when He wants to. God's plan will be carried out. So God is telling us, guys, there's this plan. I know it. I made it. You know, I made it. I know it. And I'm going to carry it out. So we have to decide, are we people who are going to be part of His plan? Because He gives us that option. And He tells us, people who are a part of His plan are this. You see, this is the part that doesn't fit on the sayings plaque. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Good plans. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then there's some more. See, there's verse 12 of this. God says, then you will call upon Me. You'll come and you'll pray to Me. I'll listen to you. You will seek Me and find Me. When you seek Me with all of your heart. You see, there are ways in which we join God's plan. Make no mistake about it, the wording in verse 12 makes it seem as though God's got a plan, He's going to bring His plan to fruition, and it's going to change us. Because He says, I've got a plan, it's a good plan, it's a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to bring you a plan to give you hope and a future. And then He goes on to say, then, and it implies that once He gives us this hope, and once He gives us this future, and once we prosper and all that, once He does His part, then we'll kind of come around to our part. That's not at all what He's talking about. God is saying, the plan is in place, and you can be a part of it when you choose to get on board with Me. And then He describes what being part of His plan looks like. Then He describes what bringing about His plan in our life looks like. And the first thing is that people who are part of His plan are a praying people. Plan people are praying people. Now, the first thing that he says is that before he says, you will pray to me and I will listen, because I love that. I love that God reminds us that he listens, because prayer isn't just up to us, because if we're just praying and God's not listening, we're just talking. I love that he says, you'll pray and I'll listen. But before that, look at what he says in verse 12. Then you will call upon me. There's so much power and theology and reality in that simple phrase. Then you will call upon me. What God is saying is that you have to recognize, before you can be part of my plan, you've got to recognize the misery of your own plan. Because that's what calling upon God is all about. We have, when we moved here 10 years ago, we have a swimming pool in our backyard. And it's great, except for now, it is the darkest, deepest green you've ever heard of. Because when school starts, nobody swims, and I'm like, you know what, I am not putting anything in this thing, and I'm not running that pump, and so let's go fishing. Literally got tadpoles in it. Not even joking you. If you look in our pool, you're like, little tadpoles. Hey, it'll be clean by next summer, but right now, disgusting. I don't know why I told you that. I just think it's funny. Kids go swimming in the pool. When we first moved, you know, my big kids were great swimmers, little kids not so good swimmers. Both Hyatt and Hillary have both had this same experience. Madison and Morgan, oddly, they both also had this. I've had this experience 4 times. Big, little big for their britches. Hey, I got this. They jump in. They realize about mid, you know, almost when they make that arc and they're on their way down, wait a second, I can't swim. What have I done? This is going to end poorly for me. And so they hit the water, and then they all do the same thing. They just start doing this, like, you know, because you've seen Olympic swimmers, you know, doing this. And then their little head pops up, and you know what they do? They somehow, no matter where you are or whatever, they will get to where they can see you, lock eyes with you, and say, Daddy! That's what God's saying. Realize you're drowning. That's the moment that we have to have. That I'm drowning moment. Where you just realize this plan that I have, it's a terrible plan. I want God's plan. I want that Peter and Jesus walking on water moment where Peter had to realize and acknowledge that he's sinking. My only hope is you. See, don't gloss over, call upon me. Don't read over that, oh, call upon me and pray. Okay, well, I'm going to... No, realize your misery. Your utter failure as a planner. Call on His name. We have to understand our peril. And plan people are praying people. And once we call on His name, the praying part is to keep calling on a daily basis. God's people are communicators with God. They recognize that this isn't a one-time communication. It isn't a, God, get me in your plan. You know, my plan is a miserable failure. Help me out. Okay, now that I'm in it, I'm good. I've got it from here. Let me tell you something. No matter how long we've been a Christian, how much studying we do, how many churches, you know, any of that, we never... And this is, Janice, this is horrible grammar. We never got this. We don't. At no time can we look at God and say, I got this. We never got this. God's people are constant communicators with Him, because there has to be this alignment of wills, this alignment of motivations. God has what He wants to get done. He's got that. He's got that planned out. He's got that lined out. So what we have to do is constantly communicate with Him so that He can change what we want to get done into what He wants to get done, so that we can be part of His plan. He goes on to say, you'll call to me, you'll pray, I'll listen. And you'll find me when you seek me, because planned people are seekers of God. Not only are we prayers, but we're seekers. We are people with eyes, you know, planned people have eyes open, looking for God in all things. The New Testament tells us over and over again that Paul says that, you know, that God is all things work together for good for those that love Him. All things. We are seeking God in all things, the good and the bad. You know, we ask God questions when we're praying to Him, like, you know, God, where are You in this fortune that I just made? Remember, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, Jesus going down to the Sea of Gennesaret. And, you know, Hyatt read that scripture and he practiced that word over and over again. And sometimes he just says that to me because he's proud that he can pronounce Gennesaret. And that's one of those fun facts. He says, it's the, you know, kind of like the Sea of Gennesaret, Dad, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee. They love those little facts. When Jesus goes down to the Sea of Gennesaret, and He goes out and He says, take your boats out a little bit, and let's put your nets down for a catch. And so what happens when they finally do that, when they get Him on board with Jesus' plan, with God's plan, they put their nets down, and they have this windfall of a catch. Peter says, where are You in this windfall, this fortune? He falls on his face and says, get away from me, I'm a sinner. Instead of what I'm afraid I would do, which is look at my partners and say, we're going to need a bigger boat. We have cornered the market on fish, and now let's come up with a great name for our fish monopoly. Because we have cracked the code on catching all the fish. Wall fish. No, that doesn't have a nice ring to it. Fish Mart. Fish Depot. I don't know. We'll get back to that. But isn't that what we would do? We have this big windfall, this lottery of blessings, as we call them. And it's so easy for us to think about, oh my goodness, I am such a great businessman or woman. Oh my goodness, I am so lucky. Oh my goodness, I'm so good. But God, where are You? I'm a seeker of You. What do You want me to do with this fortune? Who do You want me to bless? How can I add to Your kingdom because of what You've done? On the other side of that is, God, where are You in this tragedy? How can I be Your hands and Your feet at this doctor's office, at this funeral home, at this counseling center? God, I've lost it all. Maybe there's somebody God wants You to touch in a food pantry line. Who knows? But we are seekers of God. Where are You in this circumstance? He says, you'll find me. You'll find me in the good times. You will find me in the tragedy. You will find me in the average and the mundane. But only when we seek. And only when we seek wholeheartedly, because planned people are wholehearted people. And this is an interesting concept, wholeheartedness. Yes, it is about being focused and not being so unfocused. But this wholehearted idea here is about having a sincere relationship with God. Yeah, it implies a singularity of priority. And that's what Jesus alludes to, or He doesn't allude to it. He comes right out and says it in Matthew chapter 5. He says that, you know, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. We talk about that as a priority thing, and that, you know, if you get the good God stuff right first and in there, then you've got room for everything else. But what Jesus is saying is that, you know, and we've seen that illustration where you got the big jar, the beaker, whatever, and you put the little rocks in, and then the bigger rock, and then there's no room for the big giant rocks, and then I'll get all this out of here, and then you get put a big rock in, another big rock in, and then you pour all the small stuff around in the crevices, and it all fits. So you say, well, you prioritize. Prioritize. And once you get the big stuff in, the little stuff just seems to fit, right? And that's very clever. I happen to disagree with that wholeheartedly. What Jesus is saying is that there's only room for God in your life. That's it. Seek first the kingdom means seek only the kingdom. I don't get my God priority done right out of the gate on Sundays, and now the rest of the week is mine. There's only one rock in the bowl, and it's the God rock. And it takes up all the space, and it spills over. It's about sincerely having a relationship. God seekers seek Him only. We don't seek comfort for our hope, as Jimmy so eloquently put it. I mean, isn't that what's wrong with our country? It isn't, you know, and I'm not politicizing anything, but it isn't, you know, the problem isn't gun control or the Democrats or the Republicans or this or that. The problem is hope control. There is no hope. Hopeless people are desperate people, and desperate people do desperate things. And they're seeking other things but God. They're seeking some kind of external comfort for this pain that is gnawing at them. They're seeking some sort of fortune to mask the hopelessness. We will seek some form of power over others, whether it be political or criminal, whatever it is. We'll seek power over others to assuage the anguish of our hopelessness. We'll seek fame. We will seek the pleasure of substance or relationships outside of the will of God. Oh, we'll seek. But God says a sincere, true seeker of Me is true relationship. So as we come here this morning, and we look forward to a future of God bringing about His plan, the question becomes, do you want to be transformed? I mean, sincerely, wholeheartedly, before God, I'm calling on Your name. My plan is a miserable failure. I want to communicate. I want You to align my will with Your will. I want to seek You and You only, God. And I'm sincere about that. I want You to transform me. I want You to determine my steps. No longer am I going to wake up in the morning and decide based on the goal of making a fortune, or the goal of being known, or the goal of being pleased in my flesh today. God, You will determine my steps. Do you want God to captivate your every thought? As Paul tells us, bring every thought under the leadership, under the control, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because God's got a plan. And we can join that plan. We can have that plan be our plan. Do you want to be transformed? Have determined steps. Have God captivate your every thought. The choice is yours. Or you can just go to church. See, this is my generation for too long has just gone to church. And it's time for us to stop going to church. It's time for us to be planned people. It's time for us to be people of God's plan. Will you join me? For some, it might mean recommitting boldly, proudly, humbly, standing before this body and saying, I want to be counted upon. I want God to be everything to me, and today is the day. Some, it might be, I need to confess Christ and be baptized, and I want to start being a plan person. Whatever your need is. Stop going to church and be part of God's plan together as we stand and as we sing.